Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Nancy Kiechek, Associate Director, Strategic Human Resource Policy at OPM. Also joining us in our conversation is Ed Vitalis, Associate Partner in IBM's Human Capital Practice. Nancy, OPM leadership has been on record publicly on the challenge of the federal aging workforce, and we've talked a little bit about this in our earlier segment. Specifically, can you give us your perspective on this trend and its significance in the coming years?
I think the federal government is like any other employer. We have a large group of people employed from the baby boom generation. It mirrors the demographics of the nation. And those baby boomers are getting ready to retire. We have, as you just said, we've been on record of being concerned about this. Our director has talked about the retirement tsunami, and we've been working on preparing. We really have been able to cope with it in a lot of ways. Number one, it's happening gradually. I mean, we're definitely going to peak in retirements, we believe, between 2008 and 2010, but it gets bigger every year. I mean, 2005 was bigger than 2004. So we've had some time to get ready for this. It's not like a cliff. It's a coming event. We have been working at this problem from two different angles. One, is there any way to retain the people that we have a little bit longer? And number two, how do we get new people in the door? So we're attacking it from both ends. We have some tools for retaining folks. We have retention bonuses that we can use. We can, on very, very special occasions, grant what's called dual comp waivers, which is a provision where if a person retires, they can come back to work under very limited circumstances, and we will continue to pay their pension. The law only provides for limited circumstances. So one of the things that we're working on right now within the administration is a proposal to be able to bring back retirees on a part-time basis and let them keep their pension. That will have to be legislated. It will have to get approval of the administration, have to go through the agency process. But we're very excited. We think that will help. For those people who are at the end of their career and they don't want to work full-time anymore, but they're not quite ready to completely hang it up, we think that's a good solution. On the other hand, as far as bringing in new people, we have a national ad campaign going that is making folks aware of federal jobs. We're targeting areas where there's higher unemployment to try to get more applications into the federal government. And we're finding that that is a successful program.
Now, I understand, and this may be related to the programs you discussed, that OPM is interested in reemploying retired federal employees. Can you elaborate a little bit more on this?
Right. Right now, again, the laws are very restrictive. The law that we operate under lays out very specific criteria on when folks can come back and receive both their pension and employment. And we don't think that provides us enough flexibility, which is why we're working on the legislative proposal that I talked about sooner. This is something that employees want. We hear about it all the time. The other problem we have is all of our programs are defined by law. Right now, there's an anomaly in the Civil Service Retirement System pension law that if you go part-time at the end of your career, your entire pension is based on that part-time service under certain circumstances. So it is a disincentive for people to go part-time. So we would like to have a way for people who want to retire to ease into retirement. We also want to retain people that aren't ready to retire.
We understand OPM has been very involved in getting federal agencies ready for potential pandemic influenza. Can you tell us what you've been doing, and is this something that agencies really need to be worried about?
Number one, we're very proud of our work under pandemic because we have identified new flexibilities that will be able to keep the government running if we need to close government offices for an extended period of time. This is definitely something agencies need to be prepared for, and this is something that has been identified as a potential problem. Obviously, everybody hopes it doesn't happen. It will be quite frightening if it does. But we've been warned, and we need to prepare. And OPM has prepared many guides, many fact sheets on policies, and many ways for agencies to get ready. If you go onto our website, you'll see checklists that agencies should follow about getting their telework policies in place, reviewing their leave policies, talking to their employees about how they should deploy if there is a pandemic. The thing about a pandemic is, as we understand it, unfortunately, we haven't had real life experience with it in my career time. It doesn't hit in the same way a hurricane does, you know, instantly. And so you can prepare for it. We have developed a policy on telling people to work at home, and we will give them evacuation pay. In other words, evacuate the work site. What this does is it enables you to have the person work at home without having pre-established a telework office in the home. It allows folks that maybe do not have all the technology at home that you would normally require to work at home using paper, pencil, and perform certain tasks. We want agencies, and the president is requiring agencies, to lay out a pandemic plan and show that they're ready. And our guides will help assure that you're ready from a human capital perspective. Have you done everything you can to get your employees ready? OPM also has a guide for employees, a handbook that we're hoping agencies will give every employee. We certainly are at OPM, that tells employees what their responsibilities are under these circumstances. The point is to be able to keep the government running for extended periods of time when you can't go to the work site because you may become infected at the work site.
That brings up another topic that's come up in the last two areas we've been probing, and that's the area of telework. The government's had a telework program in place for a number of years, and OPM and agencies like GSA have given a lot of great guidance and resources to implementing those programs. But there still seems to be more opportunities driven by things like pandemic and potentially aging workers who want to stay off the beltway a little bit. Can you give us your perspective on, you know, what potential there still is there? And do you see any barriers? Have the unions brought up any issues associated with telework? And where do you think it's going to go over the next few years?
Telework is one of the hardest things we deal with. And getting ready for the pandemic, we issued a new telework guide. And the new telework guide this time addresses both management concerns and employee concerns. I think that telework is going to become more and more important in the federal government. It's a way to keep people off the beltway, like you said. It's a way to send people home and have them work in a safe environment if there's an illness situation. It's also a management concern because there are additional requirements that a manager must meet to make telework effective. As we put in our guide, you must exercise a written telework agreement. So there's a clear understanding how your communication with the employee will occur. In other words, telework is working, and I think by and large most employees know it, but the manager needs to know how they will get in touch with that employee. Will we work through telephone? Will we work through email? What hours will you be available? Are you in these days of flexi time? It's hard to call an employee at home at 7 o'clock in the morning. They might have been working a 9:30 to 6 schedule. So you don't want to call them at home at 7 o'clock. So our telework guide lays out that you have to plan these things, work these things out with the employees, set those times out so that you can do communication. But I think once that happens, once the employee and the manager have reached an agreement, there are just a wealth of opportunities available here. It's a career pattern thing. I personally have been able to attract some very good people to my organization that work from home, and it's been a very productive relationship. In the administration of the Federal Human Capital Survey, 400,000 surveys were mailed out from San Diego. I have a person who is able to use the OPM website at the off hours because he's in California. It's convenient for him, and it's terrific for me. So telework has a lot of potential. There's definitely more that can be done, but there's a lot to be learned about how to make it effective. And we hope that the recent guidance we provided will lay that out. The unions obviously are very supportive. They want this for every employee. And there are definitely certain occupations for which it doesn't work. As I always say, your doctor can't be teleworking when you have an emergency. So it's a good program, and we just have to work harder to make it effective.
Could you tell us a bit about OPM's recent initiative to formally collect and analyze data on the training federal agencies receive for their employees or offer their employees?
Yeah, we just issued new requirements for agencies to report to us training data. That training data is going to go into a new data system we're building. It's called the EHRI, and it's a data system with a lot of new capabilities, and so we're putting a lot of new data into it. We've asked the agencies to report employee by employee what training folks have had, whether it's management training or not, and how much it's cost, so that we can be more responsive to requests for what the government is investing in training. The bad news is that it will be a while before that data is available. First, the agencies have to build it, and then we have to analyze it. And because those requirements are new and agencies didn't have their systems built to transmit it, it will be at least until the end of next year before we start to receive it from most agencies.
How is OPM planning for the federal government's future staffing needs? We will ask Nancy Kichuk, Associate Director, Strategic Human Resource Policy at the Office of Personnel Management, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.